Coming up on today's show, the stimulus deadline came and went with no deal. Will they get anything done before their next vacation, which starts in a week? They'll be gone the whole month of August, by the way, because Congress deserves some time off when millions of Americans only get, like 1 week off if they're lucky. They get like 4 months off. President Trump has raised millions of dollars, almost $100 million, to fight what he called the fraudulent election results with zero evidence. So why hasn't he spent any of that money on actually fighting election results? We'll tell you where this money is actually going. It's despicable. I warned you about it months ago, by the way. Hope you didn't donate to him. And trust in the mainstream media is at an all-time low. I wonder why. Let me know if you trust the mainstream media. Drop us a comment. Maybe we can put up a poll during today's show. What do you think? We have the poll feature we can now do inside of our chat. So we'll do that during the show. Morning Invest on this Tuesday, July 27th, starts right now. And good morning, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. So glad to have you here. David is our producer. He is in the booth. Grover is running around here somewhere, laying on a... Did you get Clarice back, by the way?
Not yet. I'm still waiting to hear from him. So I'm like nervous because I don't know the situation. I don't know if she's already up for adoption and if, like, I don't know. I'm trying.
So Clarice, of course, it was the... You were fostering this little puppy, right?
Yes.
What was the deal?
She is a 1 year old Chihuahua. There was a huge influx of people who got pets during the pandemic and then didn't want them after. And so they have all these shelters around that are getting an influx of animals, and they came from different places. And so we kind of were a holding pattern for her until she could go in and get spayed and then go up for adoption. So we had her for basically 4 days, almost 5 days. And she's a year old Chihuahua. And so now she's back getting spayed, and I'm waiting to hear back from them as to when they put her up for adoption. So I'm against the gun, so I'm trying.
Grover wants some friends. Grover wants a friend. Clarice.
Her name will definitely change if I get her, though.
Yeah. Today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Athletic Greens. You know, here's what I love about Athletic Greens. First of all, I used to take like so many different supplements. You know, like a bunch of different supplements, like vitamin D and all this other stuff. And now with Athletic Greens, it's like I was able to eliminate all of these additional pills just in one single dose that I'm able to take now. Fantastic tasting. So many of the stressors in life, you know, it's difficult to maintain effective nutritional habits, to give our bodies the nutrients it needs to thrive. Busy schedules, poor sleep, exercise, the environment, not eating enough, all of that stuff. This is where Athletic Greens can help. It's a life-changing nutritional habit. They're daily all-in-one superfood powders, your nutritional essential. And it is by far the easiest and most delicious nutritional habit that you can add to your daily routine and empower towards better habits. They simplify the logistics of getting optimal nutrition on a daily basis. And guess what? They're giving away one free year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase if you visit our link today. athleticgreens.com/invest. That's all you need to do. athleticgreens.com/invest and join health experts, athletes, health conscious go-getters around the world who make a daily commitment to their health every day. Again, simply visit athleticgreens.com/invest and you get your free yearly supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs today. Love it. Love it. We got to get you on this too.
Yeah.
On Athletic Greens. One tasty scoop contains 75 vitamins, minerals, and whole food sourced ingredients, including a multivitamin, multimineral, probiotic, green superfood blend, and more that all work together to fill the nutritional gaps in our diet. Really great stuff. So our thanks to them for supporting Morning Invest here. All right. We've got a lot of news to get to today. We've got a lot of news to get to today, and I want to get right to it because, you know, we had some big stimulus news. So let's start with the stimulus news on the rundown this morning. By the way, you like our new rundown? It's about a week old now. I'm really getting the hang of it. I really like it.
I noticed you changed the date today. I had to go in there yesterday and do it.
Yeah, I was like, oh, does that do it automatically? Because I didn't notice. But
No worries. I made it so we could put something up there or the date, or you could put like, you know, a headline, whatever you want up there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I had to switch it today because I was like, oh, I guess it doesn't auto-update. I checked it earlier. So anyway, first on the rundown, and these are the stories that are coming up on the show. These are the five big stories we're going to cover here on the show. And so number one on the list is our stimulus update. So it looks like that bipartisan infrastructure negotiations are, sadly, ready to fall apart. I know, it's shocking. I thought we were close to a deal, though, right? But no, it looks like it's all about to fall apart. Look at sad Rob Portman. Yeah.
Womp, how come womp. I knew this was coming?
Womp womp. Because it's you live in America?
It's the fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me kind of thing. Like they're not fooling me anymore. Like I've been fooled. They've been fooling us for, you know, two decades.
Well, it's like Bush said, right? Fool me once. You can't fool me twice. Well, I'm not gonna get fooled again. Whatever he says. So look at sad Rob Portman. He looks like sad Affleck, Ben Affleck. Remember that viral video of him? So anyway, this is it's going to fall apart. I mean, and this is exactly where we're at right now. It's all falling apart as this deadline has passed. Either this is about to turn around and they're suddenly going to get a deal, or as the late, great John McCain once said, it's always darkest right before it goes pitch black. So here's where things stand right now. Republicans in the G10, the group that group that they've called themselves, they spent part of Monday basically back and forth clashing with Chuck Schumer and the White House over a global offer from the Democrats. The GOP senators and their aides said that the offer set their negotiations backwards now rather than making any more progress.
Of course.
But then this was Rob Portman on just yesterday. Making these comments about we're 90% there, we're there.
We're about 90% of the way there. I'm here this weekend working on legislative language with colleagues and with staff, and I feel good about getting that done this week.
Yeah, okay. Well, what happened then? As the Joker says in Dark Knight, what happened? Did your balls fall off? The G10 met briefly on Monday, last night, and then on the Senate floor, and then they broke up. They walked away from it. There was some confusion about what was to come next. Some senators said that Rob Portman of Ohio, the lead negotiator, said, we don't know, basically, what's going to come next. We don't know. And Steve Ricchetti, a top White House aide, we're going to try to meet to try to get the talks back on track. So Portman and Ricchetti are going to try to meet today to get things back on track. Other sources said that this wasn't going to happen. They're not meeting. So, and the normally sort of low key Rob Portman, who's been working on this for weeks, seemed frustrated with reporter questions that everything was falling apart. This photo was taken literally in the hall after, he said, I just spent all day talking to Democrats and Republicans and we're making progress. But then later in the night, this is what it looked like. He's frustrated with reporter questions suggesting that everything was falling apart, saying he'd been talking to senators all day. I don't know what your impatience is. Portman told CNN's Manu Raju. He said, we're trying to get something serious done here. It's going to affect you and your kids and your future. Portman even offered to bet Raju over at CNN that the Ohio Republican would be able to notch a deal and have it pass the Senate. So he's betting now with a reporter. He's betting with reporters.
And you know what's going to happen? What's going to happen is they're going to come to this agreement, and everybody's going to go, and everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, okay, we got it. And then it's going to be like Nancy Pelosi will block it or something. They're going to be like, now they can blame the Democrats. Mm-hmm. And then she'll be able to come out publicly and say, we just didn't like what was in it. It wasn't helping the people. And then it's going to go back, and it's just going to be this back and forth. I mean, we've seen this play out how many times now?
About five times. Oh, yeah. And then what'll happen is they'll say, we tried to work with Republicans. We couldn't get it done. So we're going to go out and do it on our own. And this was all theater. So we literally, while people in today's the 27th, right? Today's the 27th of July. In just a few days, millions of people will face an eviction moratorium with no help in sight.
But, you know, what's funny, though, is here's what they do. Here's how it happens. They come out, this is going to be a $3 trillion bill. We're going to get this done. They let the Republicans whittle it down to nothing. They blame them. They blame the Democrats because they couldn't get anything done. Then the Democrats come in and say, okay, well, we're going to do it. with you know, our way, but they go ahead and do the dwindled down number and not the original number that they wanted. So it's almost like, you know, this is planned out. It's like we get them to whittle it down so we don't have to do the $6 trillion, but we still look like the heroes and we still look like we beat the Republicans because, you know, we caved and got it done, but at the number that they got it to, not the original number.
Yeah, and, you know, we should mention to that point, I mean, President Trump wanted like $1.5 trillion infrastructure deal. And so this is the Republicans from the Trump party came forward with a $500 billion deal.
Over 5 years.
No, we're close to what Trump even wanted. So, but of course, at the heart of all of this is Joe Manchin, one of the key Democrats in this, Democratic moderate, as people will call him, had a warning for Chuck Schumer. He sent a warning yesterday, and the White House, and all his progressive colleagues. He said, quote, "I would say if the bipartisan infrastructure deal falls apart, everything falls apart," end quote. So if he can't work with his Republicans, they can't provide this watered down version and it falls apart, I am not going to go along with a reconciliation package vote where we discount and eliminate any Republican involvement. I'm not going to do it.
And these are the same Democrats, the exact same Democrats that were like, well, you know what? We don't need, if we win the Georgia runoff, if we win this, we've got the Senate, we got the House, we don't need the Republicans, we can do all this stuff. And then it's like, well, where's that at?
Well, it's not, yeah, it's not going to happen. And these are the same Democrats who aren't, we should just stop calling them the Democrats at all. I mean, they are corporate Democrats, but this is the same Democrat, Joe Manchin. Went to Texas for fundraisers hosted by several GOP donors. Like, Republicans are raising money for the guy. Should you trust him at all?
Well, list me any Democrats that aren't bought and paid for, or any Republican. Name me any politician that's not. That's a very short list. There might be 5 people on it.
I can't think of any. Yeah. I mean, the ones you probably think aren't, you know, if you think like, Ilhan Omar, or you think Bernie Sanders, they probably have some, you know, they definitely have some boosters in there that we're not hearing about. I mean, we know that AOC also like to think that these people aren't touched by it. But of course, everyone is in Washington. That's part of the problem. It's all the money that flows through. They're all corrupt. You know, they're all corrupt. So that's your update on stimulus today, unfortunately. So we'll see. If it falls apart, then as Joe Manchin says, everything falls apart, unfortunately. Next up on the rundown, China's vaccine issues. So this really bothers me. We've been talking about this here on the show for a number of weeks now. Why are we not sharing vaccine information with the rest of the world? Why are we not opening this up so that other people around the world can be helped, saved, save lives, right? Well, we now have this story out of China, which shows that the Sinovac virus, COVID-19 shot, the one that they've been doling out in China, basically disappears from the body after 6 months. Antibodies triggered by the Sinovac biotech COVID-19 vaccine declined below a key threshold from around 6 months after a second dose. After a second dose, it's like disappearing from your body. Your body's ability to fight off COVID is like, well, we're back to where we were before without taking this crappy vaccine. We know that their vaccine is not anywhere nearly as effective as the ones in the United States. And yet this is the area of the world that, of course, where this thing came out of, and one of the most populous areas in the world. Forget like the government's involvement in this. I'm talking about the people who are dying as a result of this. Chinese researchers reported the findings from a study of blood samples from healthy adults aged 18 to 59 in a paper that was published on Sunday. Among participants who received 2 doses in China, 2 to 4 weeks apart, only 16% and 35% respectively still had any of the neutralizing antibodies in their body after the threshold level of 6 months after the second shot. Researchers said it was unclear how the decrease in antibodies would affect the shot's effectiveness, and scientists have yet to figure out precisely the threshold of antibody levels for a vaccine to be able to prevent the disease. Okay, So basically saying all through Indonesia, Thailand, now they're giving out like, now they're having to bring in and like try to give out the Moderna and Pfizer vaccine. Turkey had started offering a third dose from either the Sinovac or Pfizer vaccine. So if you've got this like Sinovac shot, you're basically, it's like, okay, well, now I got to go back and figure out what actual type of vaccine should I get that will keep me alive. So this is all through. They've given out 1 billion doses of this thing. That's not even really effective in China, Brazil, Indonesia, and Chile. So what are they going to do about it? And, you know, but I come back to the point, why are we not sharing? Like if we have, and you have these companies competing, of course, because it's all around money. It's all it is.
Well, that article I read talked about like if any other vaccine in history would have had the death rate or the unsuccess rate that the vaccines that we have would have, they'd be pulled. And they're not being pulled. Like people think that it's successful because that's all we're hearing. Nobody is talking about the adverse effects people are getting from it. Nobody's talking about the deaths that are happening. And there's an article that I read that said if any other vaccine in history or any other you know, medication in history would have the rate, the success rate that this one has, they'd pull it.
Well, we still don't know. I mean, and these things aren't even approved yet. And now they're trying to push for this, like a third, you know, this additional booster.
They're basically in beta. we're being beta tested.
Right. But we, you know, I think the thing that bothers me is that we can't share, like if we do have vaccine effectiveness and we have it in the Moderna or the Pfizer or the J&J, whatever is the most effective, right? And it's there, it keeps the antibodies in our body to protect us against this thing. You're seeing now a wave of people who are coming in being infected with this Delta variant who have not been given a vaccine, more likely to be sick, more likely to have major complications as a result of it, highly contagious. But it's it's incredibly troubling. And again, I think the point you're making is this article about COVID's evidence-based clinical trial response. They're not false or misleading. They are demonstrating alarming safety signal. Do we have, like, these are people who have received vaccines. And this is where this data is coming from. I'll link it up in the show notes.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like they bypass so much that they would normally do with trials and stuff for these things. And the thing is, like, so we're basically the guinea pigs. Like, we are the trials. And, you know, that based on the people that have died and the like over a million people in this article have had very bad adverse effects. Eric Clapton himself lost the use of his hands and feet for 2 weeks, and he was scared to death that he was going to not be able to play guitar ever again. And now he's like saying he won't play concerts if they require people to be vaccines, because he thought he went along, he did it, and had burning sensation, couldn't use his hands. And therefore could not play guitar.
Yeah. And so this question about young people, now we're pushing towards this like 12-year-old level. And I mean, you know, and so even in this piece, it says like vaccines are particularly contraindicated. If you've already been infected with COVID-19 and you've got these natural antibodies in your body and you're under the age of 20, for these people, I would say no, no, no. That's what this piece is saying. So...
Well, and the thing is, like, if anybody has any adverse effects, right, from the vaccine, and they post it on social media, it's misinformation. They're trying to get that blocked. They're trying to get you not to be able to send text messages that say that anything bad is happening from the vaccines, or spreading misinformation, as they call it. But there are lots of people, and I'm talking over a million people, according to this article, that have had very bad adverse effects that have not gone away. I have a friend personally that still cannot taste food after, I think we're going on 6 months now or something like that, or 4 months or something. They haven't had taste.
Yeah, I have a friend as well. She got COVID, not the vaccine. She got COVID and still doesn't have taste back a year later. Some people so in the chat saying, I've got the Moderna. Let's see who said, Belinda says, my arm is still lumpy from the Moderna.
If you've vaccine. Got 600,000 people who have passed away, but you've got pushing, you know, 40 some thousand potentially that have died and a million that have had irreversible adverse effects. When, you know, I mean, a lot of people that like it does hurt some people, but like, I just don't know what the solution is, but like this article says is to wait for the proper vaccine, which is a different, it's not an RNA.
Right. I mean, to actually be approved. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, that's the thing. We are really in many ways getting the rush of these things. But I will say, I will push back on this idea that this was just like it was so quickly conceived and rolled out. But you have to remember that we've had this SARS version, and a lot of these vaccines are based on the SARS virus that has been around for a long time, that they've been working on for like 10 years. So this wasn't as if they just overnight. And this is a derivation of the SARS thing. So that's why they were able to move more quickly. But again, anyone wants to share, talk about different information that's available out there about vaccines, you know, the mainstream media will block you. They will hide it from you. I personally got the J&J vaccine. My wife got the Pfizer vaccine. But, you know, we're allowed to have these conversations. We're allowed to have, like, why in the world are billions of people being given this crappy vaccine in China? And I'm sure probably don't know about how many people have lost their lives from this crappy vaccine that they've been getting in China. And now we find out that the antibodies disappear after 6 months. And why aren't we sharing with the rest of the world the most efficacious vaccines that we have to help people? Because of money. So these big pharmaceutical companies, of course, will keep it under wraps. And the federal government has the ability. If we know that, like, hey, the United States is being saved as a result of this and people are living and not getting sick, don't we have a right to share this with the rest of the world? Pool our resources? Wouldn't we do the same, like, if, like someone just said in the chat, like, if we were invaded by aliens, like, they're, like, trying to take over the world, we would all come together, right?
I think that's true, but I think they also would, you know, like, get together and come up with something that's less... you know, that has less adverse effects. And because people are, you know, I get it. If you've got something that's global and something that's killing a lot of people, you have to come up with a solution. But, you know, to call these million people and these between 25 and 45,000 people that have died collateral damage, if that was your kid, you would not be calling it that. If that was your mother, you would not be calling it that.
No, and as Wolf Clan points out, like, we always have adverse reactions. There's a lot of people that have adverse reactions, you know, with different vaccines. Buddy of mine who just got the shingles vaccine, he was laid up for like a week. He was out of commission with the vaccine.
Well, then Art Sullivan said a buddy of his and his wife died 7 days after vaccine, heart attack, double funeral.
Jeez Louise. Yeah. But I do take Bill Burr's, comedian Bill Burr's take on this. He's like, first of all, why would that be the strategy? Like, when there's conspiracy theories out there that, you know, people are giving you this so that they're going to eliminate. He's like, why would they do this to eliminate the sheeple? Like, the people that are, he goes, that makes no sense. He's like, why would you want to eliminate the people that are going along with what you tell them to do? You'd want to eliminate the people that aren't. I loved his take on that. You got to watch that clip. It was on Conan. Pretty funny stuff.
Yeah, I should. I like him. He's one of my favorite current comedians.
He's like, now I'm here, you know, he's like, now I'm having all these people like, he's like, flat earth, like flat earthers, that disappeared like a long time ago. He goes, how in the past like 5 years am I getting conspiracy crap from like flat earthers? They're telling me like the earth is flat. He's like, where do these people come from? He's like, you know what I want them to do is like get their pilot's license. So when they take off and they have to learn and do instrument training, so they have to figure out like that the curvature of the earth actually affects your instrument ratings and instrument readings. It goes, or maybe you get a boat and try to go and see where you run into this so-called ice wall that they're all purporting is out there, like flat earthers. I mean, you have just crazy stuff happening in this world right now. Man, sometimes you just want to buckle down, just, you know, just turn off the world. You know,
yeah.
So much bad crap, crazy stuff.
Well, and also it's just like if you know, like the information that I'm reading and stuff and getting are from scientists and people that know what they're talking about, doctors that have been going through this from the very beginning. But it's like anybody who's against the mainstream narrative, they're written off as conspiracy theorists. They're written off and blocked and everything, where they have hard data. But a lot of the people that are out here talking, Anthony Fauci, all these people, they have no data that they're showing. You know, it's all politicized. And that's the problem in this country, is once something gets politicized, it doesn't matter if there's science to back anything up. It's what makes you feel good. And that's dangerous.
Like in this piece, I recently learned, this is what this piece says. I recently learned that these vaccines have likely killed over 25,000 Americans, which I confirmed three different ways in their reporting, and disabled at least 1 million more. And we're only halfway to the finish line. So when you click on this link to the tweet that actually takes you to the source, what did Twitter do? This tweet is unavailable.
Blocked it.
Blocked, right?
And these are virologists. These aren't just people that are throwing conspiracy. These are actually scientists that have studied this data. So you guys can call them conspiracy theorists all you want, but they are not. They're just as credible as the people, and more credible than people like Anthony Fauci, who have lied to us the entire time. And that Wolf Clan, Clayton is showing you that article right now that I'm talking about. That's one of the articles.
Yeah. And the author of this piece says that they've been fully vaccinated. Like, they have the Moderna vaccine. Three daughters have all been vaccinated. But why aren't the CDC, the FDA, and the NIH releasing this information? Like, don't we have a right to know? Like, we should have a right to know. I would also, I mean, we publish, you know, I would like to know how many people also die of the flu vaccine. We should have access to all of that information. Information right. is power.
Well, then why is it so bad to, yeah, and it's like, it's so bad you can't even have a conversation about it. If you have a conversation about it and you say something different than their mainstream media darlings, you're a conspiracy theorist. And that's what they want. That's what the mainstream media pushes. They try to push people to say, hey, if they're saying this isn't bad, isn't good, then they're anti-vax and all this other stuff. So...
You know, and there's the whole back and forth with Anthony Fauci and Rand Paul, each accusing each other of lying back and forth. And Fauci yelled at him the other day saying, if anyone's lying here, it's you. Back and forth. He said, if anyone's lying here, it's you. Fauci turned the tables on Rand Paul the other day, said, you don't know what you're talking about.
He's been lying even well before this. Like he lied about AIDS and HIV and stuff. I mean, that guy is a pathological liar and has been during his career. And the thing is, he said that we didn't need masks. Then he said we did. And then he said he was saying that because he didn't want masks to not be available for emergency workers. But if that were the case and he was lying just to save masks, he could have told people to make them from home themselves. Like he could have done things if that were the case to tell people, hey, you still want to get masks. But he, like I said, he's been back and forth. There's evidence, hard evidence, that he funded gain of research. And he's saying that what they did wasn't gain of research or gain of function research, which is a lie. So you guys can go ahead and trust him if you want, but he is a pathological liar.
And CNN is pointing out, of course, you know, did Fauci say not to wear masks? Evidence. Well, Fauci, along with several other U.S. health leaders, initially advised people not to wear masks. Fauci later said that he was concerned that there wouldn't be enough protective equipment for healthcare workers, which I never believed that for a second.
No,
I
mean, and you could have said, if you can make your own, though, you can make your own right. out of a T-shirt. You can make your own out of this. Like, they could have given you a solution instead of saying that, if that was going to save lives.
Yeah. Sherry Marie says, I trust Dr. Fauci. I don't fall for some of this conspiracy stuff.
It's not conspiracy. It's fact.
I mean, this is what he said. He initially told people not to wear masks. This is on CNN. And of all places to actually have like... And then Jim Schultz says, I trust Fauci with my life. Others say Rand Paul is an idiot. Karen says, back up your statement with facts.
He just did. He's showing you exactly what Fauci said. That is a fact. He's lied about funding gain of research, a gain of function research, like flat out lied to Congress. And if you say you trust the science is showing other things, but the science that is actually true is being hidden. Spice Bowl. David, it's a fact is what conspiracy theorists say. Okay, whatever.
Hey, we're having a good discussion here. Where are you going to see this anywhere else? Let's, you know, drop me a comment. Let me know what you think about this. We've got other stuff to talk about, other facts to break down today. See, you know, the thing is, you're not growing unless you're uncomfortable. And that's the thing. You got to be uncomfortable. If you're uncomfortable, then you're growing. And that's how you know, that's how you grow. And so pushing back on some of these, like, you know, these, I just want to know, like, why don't we hear about these numbers? Why don't we hear about any of this stuff? Why are some states not even reporting numbers? Why are things being kept from us? We should always be questioning that. If we have the numbers and data, that's how I make my decisions. Like, give me the numbers. But I'm always skeptical, like, why a government agency hides numbers? Like, why are you hiding these numbers?
They hide the numbers. And then if anybody comes out with the numbers, that's like, so if you're a Democrat and a Republican comes out with the numbers, you can't believe it because they're a Republican, you know, or this or that. Like, hey, this person has information, but oh man, they're a Republican. Yep, they're a liar. Like everybody in here ripping on Rand Paul because he's a Republican more than the substance of what that was all about. Rand Paul was 100% correct in that questioning that Fauci's jumping around trying to say that wasn't gain of function research when it was. He's lying. And gain of function is dangerous because what they're doing is they're taking a virus that only exists in nature and they're making it so that it affects humans. That virus could have never existed if they wouldn't have done gain of function research. The virus that we're dealing with right now could have never existed had they not done gain of function research that we funded in Wuhan. So
people said, I don't trust our government, but I do trust Grover.
Hey, I trust Grover too.
He doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. Yeah. And then of course, you know, like even CBS can't even cover the story about, you know, when Jon Stewart goes on there to talk about the lab leak theory, can't even talk, like, you know, Stephen Colbert tries to cut him off basically. Discount. Like, okay, really? Came right out of this freaking lab. You guys were doing this research. There's no evidence that it came from a freaking bat. Okay. That's, to me, that's more of a conspiracy theory than the actual truth where it came from out of this freaking lab.
Yeah, anyway. Listen to Jon Stewart on Colbert. Like, you know, it's so obvious. Like, there's been so many scientists that have looked at this and said, there's no way this came from nature. This did not come from nature.
No, it didn't. I mean, and you want to talk about Occam's razor. The Spickle Thinker is saying, do you assume a lot of stuff? Look up Occam's razor. Yeah, Occam's razor, you know, it's the, usually the direct answer is between the, you know, it's the simplest points, right? And you have these guys literally working in a lab on this particular, like on this virus in this lab. Some of the workers get sick and it's transmitted right there, ground zero, right next to the lab where they're working on this virus. And you think it comes from some bat somewhere? Does not. And it's not racist to say that. That's exactly where it could have happened in Canada. It could happen anywhere. Wherever this lab was is where this thing escaped from. And it's not uncommon for workers in these labs to get sick with these particular viruses. I mean, I know we've gone down a rabbit hole today on this. But anyway, back to my bottom line point is, if this vaccine that the Chinese have been doling out to billions of people is not working, then why are we not sharing with them the vaccines that apparently are working to a greater effect? And yes, still have not been fully approved yet. And yes, still have a lot of questions around them. But the bottom line is, it's all about money. It's all about making sure that these pharmaceutical companies can make as much money as possible. And now they're pushing these booster shots so they can make even more money. So we'll get booster shots for the rest of our lives. So these big pharmaceutical companies can continue to make money. That's the bottom line. We got a lot more news to get to here on the show today. We're going to talk about Trump's living expenses and how much money he's raised off the backs of poor Trump supporters. And we'll tell you about that. Plus workers' rights. Make a couple big stories on workers' rights this morning. And trust in the mainstream media is at an all-time low. We'll get to that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Babbel. If you want to learn a language, there is no better way than Babbel to learn. It's the number one selling language learning app. From ordering in restaurants or asking for directions to gaining a deeper understanding of the culture, Babbel makes the whole process of learning a new language addictively fun and easy with bite-sized little lessons that you can take. You know, like if you're waiting in line at a Starbucks for 15 minutes or whatever, just open up the app. And you can do a Babbel lesson right there. They're 15-minute lessons. They make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. Unlike the infamous language classes that you took in high school, Babbel actually designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind. Things that you'll actually use in real-day life. Really, really great. You can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Portuguese, etc. So many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition, lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. So they make it very, very simple. So here's what you're going to do. You're also going to get, if you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months total for the price of three. Just go to Babbel.com and use the promo code INVEST. That's Babbel.com, code INVEST, for an extra 3 months free. That's Babbel.com, code INVEST, for an extra 3 months free. I appreciate them. I appreciate their support of the show. All right. So up next on the rundown, let's talk about President Trump's living expenses, shall we? So this is a pretty bombshell story that broke just a few days ago. That Trump's super PAC, I'm getting some more reporting on this now, Trump's super PAC has raised $75 million, all in an effort to fight the election results. To stop the steal, right? That's the whole focus of this super PAC. It's raised $75 million. And it has not used any of the $75 million to help finance election reviews. This is according to the Washington Post. The PAC was formed after the 2020 election to help fund the Trump team's efforts to challenge the results. Yet, people who are in the PAC's finances told the news outlet that the committee has held on to much of the money, while a portion has been used to pay for some of Trump's expenses. Yes. So President Trump's living expenses and legal expenses, but which, by the way, have nothing to do with the steal the vote legal battles. According to the data, Trump Super PAC people who donated money to help him fight the election results, the stop the steal, that money is going to pay his lifestyle. In fact, it's going to pay the use of private jets, food, lavish dinners. By the way, didn't we predict all of this? If you watched our show, I said, please do. This is exactly what's going to happen. He's going to say that the election was fake because he knows the amount of legal bills that he's got piled up on him. Millions of dollars in legal bills that he's facing. And this is the way to do it, to say that the election is fake, that I won, that Biden didn't win. You got to help me support. Here's my legal fund. They were immediately sending out fundraising emails in all of this. The PAC, which needs to publicly disclose its fundraising and spending for the first half of the year by July 31st, previously reported in Federal Election Commission filings this year that it had collected nearly $31 million. So it's got another, it's got like another $50 million that they've raked in on this. And again, when he went out and did his little speech, his little rodeo speech the other day, raising more money to, quote, stop the steal. The details shared by the sources who spoke to the Post on the condition of anonymity describe the group's finances come as Trump has continued to advance false claims of a stolen 2020 election and has through his PAC sent out statements supporting election audits, including the ongoing one in Arizona's Maricopa County, but they haven't spent any money to support the audit. Isn't that funny? So all of these people that are donating money to Trump to help him fight the steal, and for this to be, you know, to find out these audits and all this, they're not taking any of that money and putting it towards the very thing that these people are donating. The Save the America Super PAC says there was no victory here or in any of the other swing states either. The president is scheduled to speak this Saturday at an event in Phoenix titled Protect Our Elections Rally, hosted by Charlie Kirk. While the GOP-dominated Arizona Senate said it will provide $150,000 in taxpayer spending for the audit, The actual costs are expected to be much higher, with the remainder being covered by private donations. So they're going to take taxpayer money to perform this audit in Arizona, where, by the way, it has failed three times to show any evidence of any wrongdoing. So much so that now they've actually turned it over to like a right-wing nut job in order to do this audit. And it's going to cost taxpayers way more than $150,000. So Arizona taxpayers have to foot the bill for this when Trump has already raised $75 million. Am I the only one that's outraged about this? I guess it's like, hey, if you're too stupid to funnel money to Trump, like if you're that dumb that you actually donated to this guy and you couldn't see what was actually going on, then I guess then whatever. But I feel like it's just preying on these poor people, don't you? Doesn't anyone else? Am I the only one here that feels that way? Tina says Trump profited from the PPEs.
He profited his whole presidency. I mean, like, putting everybody up in his hotels. This guy's he's an opportunist. Always has been.
I see you guys in the chat are still talking about vaccines. We've moved on. I mean, this is infuriating. Trump, and by the way, Trump's not even responding. Trump's spokeswoman's not even responding for questions about it.
Push your arrow forward so it's on the right story.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
62% of Arizona Republicans believe that Trump will receive more 2020 election votes after the state's audit is complete, despite the fact that no evidence has emerged to substantiate Trump's claims of widespread fraud. In a Republican legislature with a Republican governor, with a Republican secretary of state. Republicans in other states have followed Arizona in launching or proposing recounts, including Texas, where a group of state GOP lawmakers introduced legislation this week calling for the hiring of an outside expert to conduct a forensic audit of counties with populations greater than 415,000. So President Trump continues to rake in the money, but not use any of it, instead to fund his lavish lifestyle and to pay for the way, you know, pay for jets, pay for dinners, but not use
think
any
about
of
how
it.
Much of that McDonald's has gotten.
Right. How many Big Macs and Diet Cokes has this guy ordered? Thanks to you. But to actually fight the election results? No, it's going to stay in the Trump super PAC. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments below. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel and turn on the little bell notification so you always know when we are live. All right, next up on the rundown, let's talk about workers' rights. Some disturbing stories this morning about workers' rights in the United States. 1 million fines, New York Times reporting this morning, that $1 million in fines, just a paltry $1 million, $1 million fine, proposed over a nitrogen leak that killed six people at a poultry plant in Georgia, in Gainesville, Georgia. So for some context here, this poultry plant, people couldn't smell this nitrogen leak, and they could have had sensors on the walls to prevent these people from dying. They died as a result of it. They died, and OSHA swooped in and made a ruling on six, so a total of almost $1 million. So you could round it up. It's like $998 million is the maximum amount that they are to pay in a fine, like based on the government ruling, like on the law. Basically, that says like if someone dies, the human life then is worth like $156,000 because that's basically what they ended up having to pay just in fines because these people died. Which means it's cheaper for them to basically ignore any of these types of workers' protections than it is to just pay these fines from time to time. A fraction of their profits go to taking care of the families that died as a result of this. Will they put anything additional? And by the way, OSHA continues. I mean, these are like the paltry little fines that OSHA hands out. There's a long history of OSHA sending out just small fines as a result. OSHA on July 23rd announced alleged violations against the Gainesville poultry processor and three other companies. Six people were killed and 12 were hospitalized after the leak at the Memorial Park Drive plant. Six people's deaths and injuries suffered by at least a dozen others were entirely avoidable, said U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh. Entirely avoidable. The 59 alleged violations would have to pay $1 million, 59 violations, and they only have to pay $1 million in penalties. That's it. That's what the human life is worth. That's it. Here's what Dan Price has to say about it. Six workers died from nitrogen leaks at a poultry processing plant. The companies responsible were fined $998,000, the maximum allowed by law. The fine amounts to less than 0.1% of their annual revenue. Our laws are designed to protect companies. Dan Bodine says, you would think if you can't breathe, you would get outside or something. Oxygen deprivation sensors need to be installed at these types of plants, even wineries where oxygen deprivation can happen. And happens regularly, but we don't hear about these stories. We never hear about these stories. These types of stories where we have the Frito-Lay plant. Remember, we were covering this story last week. And the Frito-Lay workers, of course, who were... And I said, on this show, we've got to boycott this. We've got to boycott Frito-Lay. Don't eat that crap anymore. First of all, it's awful.
There's a Frito-Lay company just down the street from my house. And I was kind of wondering if they're in the same situation. I drove by there yesterday and there were no protesters. So I assume it must not be the same conditions here, or they're just not saying anything here.
Well, they ended their strike, and this was the one in Topeka, Kansas. So this strike in Topeka, Kansas, they were basically begging to not have to work these so-called suicide shifts, where they would literally work a full shift, like 8 hours. They would get off for 4 hours and then be called back to work again with no days off. They literally were going like 30, 60, 90 days with not a single day off, leading people to like literally kill themselves. So they're known as suicide shifts. Well, guess what? They've resolved their strike. After a three-week strike, the Frito-Lay workers in Kansas ratified a brand new contract, which ends the strike. So you would think, okay, maybe they made some real big movements, right? And Frito-Lay came to the table and really is taking care of these people, right? They're really making sure that these people are taken care of. God, after 3 weeks, you're demanding better wages. You're demanding to not be having to work these suicide shifts without any days off. What do they get? Breaking. Frito-Lay workers in Topeka vote to ratify a 2-year new contract, ending their 3-week strike. The union says the contract guarantees one day off a week and does away with the requirement to work, quote, suicide shifts. 12-hour shifts with just 8 hours in between the shifts. Great. Frito-Lay, way to come and help your workers. You get one day off a week. And you don't have to kill yourselves over work. I mean, this is what's happening to the American worker. It's a wonder why people don't want to go back to work for these types of companies. Why it's so difficult to find workers, because they're being screwed over by these big companies. One day off a week, that's all you get? Dan Price says, don't feel guilty about taking time off in America. 2-week vacation is 3.8% of the year. And Americans get fewer guaranteed days off than any workers in any other rich country. And yet, by the way, our productivity is worse than just about any of the industrialized world. Not surprising, but way to go, Frito-Lay workers. Frito Bandito. You're making this company, by the way, record profits. So Frito-Lay is making record. I say we still let's boycott these guys. Let's boycott these guys with our dollars. Do not buy Doritos. Do not buy Frito-Lays. Do not buy Cheetos, whatever the heck those are. Don't buy any of that crap. You know, what's sad is, like, these companies walk all over you. Deb Austin, my brother died in a construction accident at work. Company had paid off an inspector. The pile-driving hammer broke loose and killed him. company was fined $25,000 and the inspector was fired. No one was held accountable for his death. Baramila says, have a look at New Zealand's laws regarding health and safety for workers. The buck stops at the top. The business would be shut down pending full investigation. Owners and CEO would be liable, fined, and prosecuted. Not in the U.S. So for these people who literally got $1 million over six people killed, this is what it comes down to. $166,000 is what a human life is worth under capitalism. Yes, Lay's potato chips are part of Fritos.
Yeah, it's Frito-Lay. So, I mean, I remember times when my dad worked in a shop and they were able to pay off OSHA to, like, you know, they came in to inspect and they're like, okay, well, we're going to, you know, this is a problem, this is a problem. They could just pay him some money and they would not say anything.
Corrupt.
Yeah.
Michael Lestoria says, you know, to someone making $40,000 a year, a 0.1% fine would be $40, or roughly the cost of a nice haircut. This fine shows that it's not an issue at all for companies to literally kill their employees. Can't believe I have to say this, but our laws should protect people, not capital. And finally, love this. Fly on the Wall says, as long as the fines and punishments are the same as illegally downloading an MP3 or a movie, companies will continue to kill and maim people. $150,000 fine for an MP3 is over 300% of one's income. Yeah, that's what the fine is. Like, if you illegally download an MP3, it's $150,000. So if you illegally download a song, it's worth literally the fine you'll get for killing someone on the job. Same thing. Something out of whack here? Unbelievable. Let me know in the comments below what you think about that. Let me know what you think about that. But what's next on the rundown today? Next story I want to cover is our trust in the media. So it turns out that trust in the media is at an all-time low, if you can imagine that. The mainstream media, you know, the bastion of truth. You might be shocked to learn that trusted media is relevant to what we've been talking about, has fallen to an all-time low. Americans now say they don't trust the mainstream news. And it's pretty revealing. Take a look at this new Axios report that has pretty revealing numbers. So 60% of people in this new number, sorry, pull up here, pull up the wrong screen. There we go. So trust in the traditional media has declined to an all-time low, and many news professionals are determined to do something about it, says this Axios piece. By the numbers. What are they going to do about it, by the way? For the first time ever, fewer than half of all Americans have trust in traditional media, according to data from Edelman's Trust Barometer. 56% of Americans agree with the statement that journalists and reporters are purposely trying to mislead people by saying things they know are false or gross exaggerations.
But people don't believe that's the case with the vaccine, which is crazy. It's like, we don't believe the mainstream media, but we're going to believe everything they say about this.
When the mainstream media, yeah, the mainstream, exactly. Or people can pick and choose what they think, you know, they want to believe, right. I guess. 58% think that most news organizations are more concerned with supporting an ideology or political position than with informing the public. Do you guys think that? I certainly do. To me, that seems even low.
I was going to say the same things, like 58%, like who are they polling?
So I think everyone thinks, I don't know. I don't know who, you don't think that they're supporting a political decision? I mean,
if they're polling people who still have rotary phones or regular landline phones, then that number would be lower, because there's a lot of people, you know, up till the day my grandmother died, she had Fox News on with the ticker at the bottom, just watching it. Like every time she was awake, boom, TV was on Fox. So there's those people still do exist, but like, what's the polling data?
Right. When Edelman re-polled Americans after the election, the figures had deteriorated even further. 57% of Democrats trusting the media, only 18% of Republicans trust the media. And yet these networks spend billions. Here's the thing, guys. Like, I worked in, you know, fancy media, right? I worked in fancy television news. And, like, they would much rather spend time, attention, and effort covering garbage stories than actually covering stories that matter to you. I mean, yesterday we talked about this story. I mean, literally, I sat, play the sound, but.
All right, on to a story that's caught my attention. I don't know. I think you and I talked about this.
Like this story. Like, really, like, this is an important story. But look at these fancy sets and lights and cameras and everything else they use, right? Billions of dollars on fancy cameras, producers. They've got like 30 producers per show, huge salaries. I mean, like, over at like ABC News, they have like massive salaries for a massive number of producers, like triple the amount that they have at other states. I mean, it's ridiculous. Huge salaries for news anchors. They have satellite trucks, and they spend their time on stories that don't matter to the American people at all. Like, the stories we've talked about on the show today have a direct impact on you, like workers' rights, people who've donated money to corrupt politicians who think that their money is going somewhere to help some cause they believe in, and that politician is fleecing them. An infrastructure bill that will change or could impact lives, millions of people's lives. Here's an example, though, of a story that they love to cover. This really bothered me. I meant to do this last week, and I didn't. I'm kind of kicking myself that I didn't. But this story went viral last week. Viral video. I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you see this story, David? The guy who was filling up a shopping bag. He was a shoplifter. Oh, yeah. He was caught filling up a bag in San Francisco.
San Francisco.
At a Walgreens.
They've come so lax if it's under $900, I believe, then it's a misdemeanor. So people are just going in stores and looting like crazy.
Yeah. So he's there taking, you know, filling up a bag, looting, just, you know, stealing stuff, right? In Walgreens. And the store security guard looks on and starts filming it. Like, he's just there filming it. Right? Doesn't even do anything. He's just like filming it, like, for like voyeuristic purposes, right? Well, the mainstream media loves this kind of a story because they can show the video, right? It's their shocking video. They can show it on their nightly news. They can show it in news articles. It's a catchy headline. You know, store security guard looks on as man fills his bag at a grocery store, you know, at the store, whatever, right? It's voyeuristic porn is what it is, right? This man was arrested, okay? By the way, no big deal. Not a huge story. How does that really impact you? But by the way, this story had no fewer than 320 news articles and videos and news stations covering this story. 320. It's probably more by now. This one shoplifting incident. Who cares about this one guy stealing from a Walgreens? Well, guess what? That shoplifting story was happening. While that was happening at Walgreens, there was not a single mainstream news article about a much bigger story. And that's this Walgreens story. Was forced into a $4.5 million settlement in a class action lawsuit filed against them by their workers, who alleged the company was stealing their wages. You can see by this fair.org piece, they were stealing their wages. Basically, Walgreens rounded down the employees' hours on their time cards. So when they would check in, it would round it down instead of up. They also required employees to pay their security checks before and after their shift without compensating them for their time worked. And they failed to pay them premium wages to employees who were denied legally required meal breaks. So they weren't paying them when they should have had a legally required meal break. And they were rounding down their paychecks.
But there's no really cool viral video behind that one, Clayton.
Exactly. So if there was a viral video about this, then maybe it would have been covered on the mainstream media. But they can't cover that kind of stuff. And the other reason they can't cover that kind of stuff is because Walgreens spends millions of dollars on advertising, right? So do you think they're going to cover that story? This is exactly how it works. You know, Walgreens and the newspapers spends millions of dollars on those circular ads that are inside the newspapers. Do you think the newspapers are going to cover that story? Of course not. Do you think the news stations are going to cover that story? Of course not, because they make advertising. They lie to you by excluding the real stories. I mean, it's a way of lying, right? They're not really outright coming out and lying, but they're basically lying.
It's called lying by omission.
Lying by omission, yeah. Or this week.
I mean, that's all our mainstream media is anyway, is lying by omission. They don't tell us anything of substance. It's all you know, sensationalized and hyped up or whatever they can find that's that they can like sensationalize or make they got a viral video around it or whatever. Like that's what they want because those are what people click. They want the clickbait.
It's all they want. Or this week, how many of you watching right now knew that there was a Medicare for All rally in 40 cities across the country? Did any of you know that? Did you, David?
I did. Yeah, I knew that. I watched some of the live coverage with Jimmy Dore.
I didn't even see that, to be honest with you. But I mean, literally, no mainstream media covering this story.
And did you see how many people were in LA? Like, it was, there were a lot of people out there. A lot.
Look at all these people. Did you see any mainstream media coverage in 40 cities across the country? I sure didn't see any coverage on it. How many people here watching right now saw Medicare for All rallies covered on your media, on Fox, on MSNBC, on CNN, or any of the big media stations? Has any of them, have any of you seen that? I'm curious here in the chat if anyone's seen that.
Now, the only reason I knew is because I saw a guy, Jackson Hinkle, posted it on YouTube, and then I was like, oh, there's a rally. Then I looked and saw how many people were there, and I was like shocked that there wasn't more, you know, news around it anywhere.
Yeah, Shirley says, not me. Lisa Pettit says, I saw nothing. Arlene Morrow says, nope. Daniel says,
I didn't
nope.
even see any posts on social media.
Yeah, Mark Sparks says, to hell with the mainstream media, bunch of jerks. I don't see it, but I don't watch TV, Yvonne says. Not on media. Nope, nope, nope. I didn't. Nope, nope, nope. What is it? I didn't see a thing. It was rallies across the country demanding Medicare for all Americans, healthcare for all Americans. Where's the mainstream media covering this story? No, they'd much rather go out and like cover, you know, like the controversy over a Black Lives Matter protest or whatever, right? They'd much rather go cover that. They'd much rather go, if there's like cultural controversy, they can go cover that because that'll drive ratings, right? Anytime they can put a wedge between Americans, they will cover that. But could you imagine Fox coming out and saying, you know, we're going to go live this morning to downtown Los Angeles where there's a huge protest demanding Medicare for all? I mean, no. Here's one reporter that I saw. I mean, one reporter. This is the only reporter I could find at this WGN out of Chicago.
They didn't even put Bernie Sanders or AOC's speeches on the news?
No, nothing.
I wonder why, because I guess they weren't there, I guess.
Yeah, but there were protests outside of AOC's office for Medicare for All.
She wasn't there to support.
No,
she ran on that.
There were protests outside of her office on it.
Jeez.
But, you know, I bring this up. I bring up the Medicare for All story because there was no coverage of it. Nothing. No coverage on the mainstream media. 40 different cities with a huge rallies around demanding health care for everyone. President of the United States could have shown up, right? He could have gone to one of them. He could have used that as ballast for his ship on providing health care for Americans. Nope. Ignored. And here's the thing. If the president would have gone to that, how much more attention would it have drawn with the cameras? Ignored. But that, you know, that's the mainstream media. But I will say there is a silver lining in all of this because all of this could collapse really soon. Mainstream media is ready to fall into the ocean. I mean, we're already seeing it with the Olympic coverage from NBC. Like, no one's watching. Right, people are coming here to this show. You guys support this show and independent journalism. You're subscribing to this every morning. You're watching this show instead of watching that crap. You're getting real news here, and you're for free just by subscribing to the channel. But a new study out this morning shows that the ads, you know, the advertisements that are the lifeblood of the media are completely ineffective. So all of those, you know, advertisements for MyPillow and all that other crap that you see.
Hey, don't you make fun of the MyPillow guy.
It's your favorite pillow.
I got to come on camera for that. That guy has more integrity in his couch pillows than we have in our whole bodies.
People, I hope no one believes you.
I hope so too.
No, we're not big Mike Lindell fans around here.
But, no.
So all of those ads, that whatever you're seeing, all of them that are on cable news, a new study shows that they're wasting their money. 80% of the brands that they studied found out that they're actually losing money by placing ads on television, on cable news. Isn't that funny? So they're literally, and here's the thing, they look at it in many ways as a loss leader. They can just throw this money up there. They're losing money. They're not generating profits as a result of all of this advertising money that they're throwing up on MSNBC and CNN. It's losing for them. It's losing money. Shocking, I know. So there is a silver lining in all of this, that perhaps mainstream media will go by the, you know, go the way of the dodo bird in the next few years, especially as ad revenue dries up. What are they going to do? You know, and here's the thing, NBC is starting a new, like, CNN is starting a new streaming service. Did you hear about this?
Oh, geez.
Who's going to watch that crap? Like, so wait a minute, you're telling me people are tuning away from your on-air cable news version of CNN, and they're going to come over and watch your crappy streaming version of CNN where you're going to have...
You know why? Because somebody at the top is convinced that because Disney Plus and Netflix and all this is doing good, that it's because they're not on an app that they're failing. They right, don't think exactly. It's because of their news.
Yeah. So because we're not on a streaming app, how many of you would pay $9 a month for a streaming CNN app, just like you would pay for Disney Plus or Netflix?
I wouldn't download a free one.
I would not download a free CNN app. Oh, I love it.
They could offer me a year of free Netflix to download their app, and I wouldn't take it.
Oh, yeah. And I thought that, like, as Derek Yead says, I thought new streaming for CNN. I thought they already had one. Wolf Clan says, he's talking about a stock. Garbage in, garbage out. No chance. Yeah, I want to go and watch. I want to go watch Brian Stelter and the CNN crew. That's what I want. That's what I want with my money. Oh God. Yeah. Well, that's going to do it for today's show, everyone.